Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. Wanted to go over more stories from Davos. That's kind of in the news. And I think that's probably the biggest macro event of the year. Well, I don't know if it's the biggest macro event. Maybe I'm not saying that right. I think what is going on with the global elite, what their intentions are, what their objectives are, whatever you want to call it, the Great Reset agenda or whatever. This is, I think, the most important macro event in the world right now. And a lot of people look at Klaus or the IMF or whatever, and they say, oh, you know, George, stay in your lane. Just stick to macro. When you get off on these conspiracy theories, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. That's a horrible argument, because those people are basically admitting that they can't see how the global elite trying to usurp power and control applies to macro. So let's go back to the Cerveza sickness and what happened with the mainstream media. What was that the propaganda is what I'm referring to. Is that not, or did that not affect global macro? How about lockdowns? Should I not have talked about that because that's not considered macro? I mean, is there anything more macro than governments locking us in a cage for 6 months and basically turning off the entire global economy? Look at what it's doing now to supply chains. Look at what it's doing as far as labor shortages, food shortages, etc. And look at the propaganda that we're now seeing towards Russia, Ukraine. And a lot of this is being pushed, and I'm not saying that it's directly disseminated or coming down straight from Davos, but these people heavily influence the journalists, the college professors, the people in the entertainment business, these CEOs like Benioff. I mean, again, I'm not saying they're getting direct marching orders from Klaus, but I think it's insanity, or it's ignorance to assume that these Davos types don't have, and what I mean, I'm talking about the World Economic Forum, I'm talking about the IMF, the UN, the central bankers, that they don't have any influence on the mainstream media and society at large. I think that's, you're just like an ostrich putting your head in the sand if you believe that to be true. So I want to go over this presentation, basically just a minute or so of the presentation given by Klaus. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day prior, at Davos, and he addresses the room, and he's just basically addressing the global elite, the Bill Gates types. And if you were ever wondering about Klaus's worldview, all you have to do is listen to him talk. It's not a conspiracy theory. Like, the only thing that's debatable is whether or not his intentions are good or bad. But his intentions are explicitly stated. His intentions are right there in front of you. He talks about it. He doesn't hide the fact. He doesn't hide what he wants to do. It's just right there. And so, you know, let's play devil's advocate here and say, well, you know, we like to look at the global elite as these nefarious characters. And I do believe they're sociopaths, but I also believe that in their mind, they think they're doing good. So whether it's Georgieva, or whatever her name is, or Christine Lagarde, or Jerome Powell, or even Bill Gates, I don't think that these people, I mean, you look at some of the dictators that we had throughout history, they're probably nice people to be around for an hour or two. It's just that they were psychopaths. And I think it's the same thing. But even with those people, I think that if you sat down and have a conversation with them, they truly believed what they were doing was for the greater good. I mean, pick them, whether it was Stalin, Mussolini, etc. Now, they were just so twisted in the head that they couldn't see what they were doing was morally horrific they were just so intent on that end objective. And it goes back to Machiavelli, the ends justify the means, right? So if you truly believe that you can only do good by being bad, that goes back to The Prince by Machiavelli, then you see yourself as kind of a hero. Like, let's look at those types that want to reduce the global population. And they would never come out and say this. Now, maybe they believe this, but they say that we want to lower the birth rates. And here's why. Bam, 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 bam. Okay, that's fine. So these people, I don't know that they come out and just say that we enjoy mass death. I think it's, well, we see this problem that can't be resolved any other way in their head. And the only way we can benefit society at large for future generations is to reduce the population now. So, and I think there's degrees to this. So some people would say, well, if I have to go out and say these things and be a lightning rod and be unpopular, well, I'm happy to do that. They see themselves as kind of like a hero. Like they're the person that has the balls to go out there and do things that other people aren't willing to do for the greater good of society and future generations. And again, I think that comes in levels. Some people are willing to lie to do that. Some people are willing to be a lightning rod. Some people are, like in the case of Mussolini or Stalin, they are willing to just create genocide in order to achieve the greater good or what they think is the greater good. And I guarantee you, if you would have had the chance to talk to those individuals and said, hey, dude, you're killing millions of people, their position probably would have been, I know, I get it, but this is necessary. And I'm the only one with the guts to do it. And 100 years from now, people are going to thank me because I was willing to do something horrific that other people weren't willing to do. So again, just playing devil's advocate here and just trying to kind of get inside their head. And I think that's why we get so much pushback from the mainstream media or kind of the normies out there that look at our view and just say, oh, you're just a bunch of conspiracy theorists. The Bill Gates types, they don't want to kill people. They're trying to benefit the world. They're trying to do good. They're trying to increase the standards of living. You're right. No, I totally agree with that. I absolutely 100% agree. The problem is not their identifying a, or I should say, the issue I have with them is not their ability to identify a problem. It's their solution. That's where you get the megalomaniac that I think is a big part of what makes up their personality and their ego, and this tendency towards being a sociopath. And then you combine that with a lust for power and control. And that's what creates the global elite we have today. It's just, I'm sure they're convincing themselves that they're doing what's right. It's just, and no one else has the guts to do it. And this is the only solution to these problems. And the solutions are that they have to have a central bank digital currency. Why? Because they have to control the money. We cannot allow the money to be controlled by people in the real economy. We can't let the money system be controlled even by these countries or by these states. If we continue to allow that, if we don't take total control over the global monetary system, then humanity is doomed. Because left to our own devices, we're going to destroy ourselves and destroy the planet. Therefore, the only way that we can save humanity is if we, the global elite, usurp power, control, and wealth. And whether that's, like I said, through a central bank digital currency, whether that's tracking you everywhere you go on your phone, whether that's taking control of the food, the energy, you name it. Those objectives that I've outlined, I think they themselves see those objectives as necessary, I'm not even going to say necessary evils, I'm just going to say necessary efficiencies to not only save the human race, but to somehow improve the living standards for society at large. So why am I going through this thought experiment? Because I think it's really important that we understand who we're up against and what drives them, what motivates them. How do they see the world? And what is the inner dialogue that's going on in their mind? How do they justify what they're doing? What's their thought process? Because once we get our, once we start to see this more clearly, once we start to comprehend, once we start to understand what's truly going on, instead of, you know, I think it's intellectually lazy just to say, oh, they're these global elite, they're all a bunch of SOBs, and they're all just trying to control the world and like these James Bond villains, right? I think that's intellectually lazy. There's more to it. And if we're going to win this battle, if freedom, liberty, and free market capitalism is going to prevail, we have to truly understand the nuances behind what makes them tick. I think that's the best way that I can say it. So let's go over to Klaus addressing the crowd here, and we can start to better understand not just how he sees the world, but how he believes we're going to, the only way that we can improve the world or make the world a better place. Maybe I should say it that way. Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist Show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today. So I'm just going to put the microphone down here by the speaker, and hopefully the audio is okay. Let's go ahead and just play this short clip here. It's only about a minute.
Also be clear, the future is not just happening. The future is built by us, by a powerful community as you here in this room. We have the means to improve the state of the world, but two conditions are necessary. The first one is that we act all as stakeholders of larger communities, that we serve not our only self-interests, but we serve the community. That's what we call stakeholder responsibility. And second, that we collaborate. This is the reason why you find many opportunities here during the meeting to engage into very action and impact-oriented initiatives to make progress related to specific issues on the global agenda.
So first and foremost, the problem with what he's saying is, who determines the global agenda? And you can tell right off the bat when he addresses the crowd, he's saying that we, the people in this room, have the power to control the future. We can affect change, and only us. I mean, this is what's implied with what he's saying. And so what we can insinuate, or what we can infer from what he's saying, is he believes in central planning. 100%. He believes the only way that we can solve the world's problems is by having more centralization. He is decentralization is his enemy. He thinks that's the root of our problem, is decentralization. So he thinks those people in the room are superior. Now, maybe he thinks they're intellectually superior. Maybe he thinks they're genetically superior. Maybe he thinks they're just superior from a standpoint because they have all the wealth and the power, and therefore they have the ability to affect greater change. But then he goes, but there again. So when you're thinking about, well, why can't, like this Malthusian type of approach where they want us to use a lot less energy. And you ask yourself, well, why? That doesn't make sense, because Thomas Malthus has been proven wrong over and over and over and over again since the 1800s. So the Club of Rome has been proven over and wrong over and over and over again since 1972, when they came out with the limits to growth. Maybe you guys have seen the video that I showed on a whiteboard the other day, where it's this MIT program where they used the paper Limits of Growth to create this computer simulation that predicted that the world would basically come to an end by 2020. I'm here in Phoenix looking out the window, and as far as I can tell, the world has not come to an end. So I know a lot of rebel capitalists and people on the live stream say, well, why are we even paying attention to people who believe in this Malthusian theory? They've been proven wrong over and over and over again. But you have to understand that that's not their view. Their view, the people that are in control and power, believe that Malthus was right, he was just early. The Club of Rome was right, they were just early. They just got the calculations a little off, right? And if you believe that the people that can really change the world and solve problems are just in that room because they are superior and everyone on this live stream is inferior to them, it makes sense as to why they believe that they need to take all the control, all the power, all the wealth. They need to micromanage your life because they are the only ones that are suitable, that have a realistic chance of solving the world's problems. And those problems stem from what Malthus was talking about, and that's that we have exponential population growth in a world of limited, finite resources. This is it. Once you understand this, it all makes sense. And so, again, I don't want to make, it's very easy to make Klaus look like a James Bond villain. And I've done that in some of my whiteboard videos, just poking fun at him. But in reality, I think if you just sat down and talked to the guy, he's probably a very pleasant person, probably a very nice guy. But if you just had a couple beers with him, this is what you would hear. This would be the tone that we have to solve these problems or else humanity isn't going to survive. And the only way we can solve these problems, although I love liberty, I love the idea of freedom, I love the idea of free speech, he would probably say, we have to get rid of free speech. We have to get rid of personal freedoms and liberties. And all of the power and control has to come to the global elite, not because that's ideal, and this is him talking, not me, but because that's the only way that we're going to solve these global problems that we have. The free market cannot do this. Individuals cannot do this. States, countries cannot do this on their own. The only way we can do it is with a global government, a global monetary system, and not only that, a global government that is ruled by people who are not voted in and out of office. We need the world controlled by a benevolent dictator or a benevolent group of dictators. Therefore, they're not beholden to constituents and voters. They can make whatever decisions they need to make based on the long term, based on quote unquote science. And I truly believe that that would be the gist of the conversation. So obviously where he's wrong there, where he's way, way dangerously wrong, is the global elite can't fix this problem. It's the exact opposite. We can fix this problem. The other 7 billion people that he believes is inferior, we're the only ones that can solve the problem. Scientists, engineers, entrepreneurs out there pursuing their own self-interest. That's how we've solved the problems that Malthus recognized way back in the 1800s. That's how we've solved these problems over and over and over and over again. And that's the only way that we're going to solve them, or any problems for that matter, moving forward. So I just wanted to go over that as quickly as I could and try to express my thoughts. Hopefully I did that in a coherent fashion without kind of rambling on. But the main takeaway there is, whether you're listening to my live streams or whiteboards or podcasts or whatever, or just thinking through this on your own, try not to fall victim to just saying, oh, they're evil, bad James Bond villains, and they are, you know, a reincarnation of Satan. I don't know it's that simple. I think that there's more to it than that. And if we oversimplify it, it reduces the probability of us being able to push back and win this battle that inevitably is for our freedom, our liberty, and the principles that we believe, not only for this generation, but for future generations. That's really what's going on right here. You know, I just had a conversation with my good buddy, Chris Irons, on his show. And he was, I don't know how we were talking about, we were talking about a fourth turning, and how every fourth turning has ended in a war. And I talked to Neil Howe about this, the author of The Fourth Turning. And so if you believe that we are going into the end of a fourth turning right now, and this kind of culminates or comes to a crescendo in or around 2028 or 2030, which is pretty much kind of the timeline here, you say, okay, well, the probability is high, unfortunately, that that's going to end in a war. Most people, their default is to say, okay, what countries are at war here? Or they say, maybe it's a civil war in the United States. But the more I see what's going on, and the more I see this animosity towards the Davos types, and the more I see them pushing back and trying to, you know, the more they're threatened, the more control they try to take. And so you try to think that through and say, okay, where does that lead? Like, what's the end game there? And yeah, Lamb's word, you got it, my friend. He just said, let me read his comment. He said, everyone versus Davos. Yeah, I think, and this is an idea I'm just kind of mulling over right now. So I haven't really distilled my ideas or crystallized my thoughts on it. But I think maybe the fourth turning ends in a war between us or society, civilizations, and the global elite. Maybe it's not a war between countries. Maybe it's a war between classes, for lack of a better word. It's a war between the Davos types and everyone else that they are trying to control for the greater good. I'll go ahead and leave it there. Guys, just gives you some things to contemplate. I'm sure we'll be back with more stories throughout the day. As always, enjoy the afternoon and make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, and free market capitalism. Because at the end of the day, that's how we solve these problems. Through decentralization and through us being free to pursue our own self-interest. Centralization and central planning will only make things worse.